why did it never occur to me that Adam and Eve, lust had absolutely nothing to do with why they were clothed? There was literally no one else on earth to see them. They were married. And I thought, wow, the primary reason we wear clothing is not to keep our brothers from lusting. I'm not saying that doesn't, it's not an extra important thing. But that's not why we wear clothing. So why do we wear clothing? Well, God touched on it, and Nancy Lee DeMoss touched on it when she said, before sin, there was no shame, and there was no clothing. Let me read a couple things from Mary Cassian's book. After she sinned, Eve's eyes opened to the fact that she was not the goddess she had presumptuously made herself out to be. Her created beauty was marred, and this resulted in excruciating shame. So she tried to conceal the gap between what she was and what she should have been by covering her most intimate, vulnerable parts with leaves. Nothing could hide the dishonor, disgrace, and embarrassment of their rebellion against their creator. God did what Adam and Eve were unable to do. He covered them and made them presentable. God's merciful solution to Adam and Eve's sin and their inadequate attempt to cover shame was to clothe them with something infinitely more adequate. The shame of their fallen condition demanded a covering, not to conceal it and hide it, but to confess and redeem it. It confesses that we need a covering, an outward visible symbol of an inward spiritual reality. When you put on Christ, he covers your shame and makes you what you should be. He offers you his garments. And Revelation 3:18 says, so that you may clothe yourselves and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. I am vulnerable, I am exposed, I am naked, and because I am sinful, what you see is shameful spiritually. And physically, I am aware of that, and we feel this need. Until we deaden that, we feel this need to cover that. And then to know Christ is our covering. And every time I put clothes on in the morning, I am confessing. I am someone who needs a covering, and then I am redeeming that by rejoicing in the fact that I have one. That's what clothing is for. That's what it's a reminder of. So I would suggest that knowing the goal of clothing really would just make a difference in how I choose what I wear. So what I would then go into with them, and I'll just go through this as I would with my college girls. Let's first take a step back from clothing and say, how does my outward appearance, not just clothing, but any, how I choose to present myself outwardly, how does that fit into a biblical grid? And in my family, since my kids were little, we talked about Matthew 22, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, as the number one commandment and the number two commandment. So that when they were little and they would be arguing over things that felt very important to them, we would say, does that affect number one? Does that affect number two? It doesn't really matter. So we would begin to say, does that help you love God? Does it help you love others? If not, it just doesn't really matter. Okay, so let's talk about our top two priorities. I need to love God. I need to love others. How does that impact how I choose to present myself? I would say, first of all, it's the opposite of how I think about my clothing. I think about myself. What looks good on me? What makes me the most attractive? What makes me the most presentable? I would suggest that in there somewhere needs to be, how does this represent God? How does this love the people around me? So the rest of this session is designed to give you some principles, practical guidance, share with counselees, certainly what I share with the girls, how to do that. So number one, as in everything, love. Love God, love others. Love has to be our guiding principle. That's what we're doing. We have to first love God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The primary way in my clothing that I love God is I show humility to God. I acknowledge my need for a covering, and I revel in the covering of Christ. What an opportunity to remember the gospel when you look in your wardrobe. Why do I even need clothing? I am covered, and I want to represent that well today. It's about loving God. Viewing my appearance through the grid of the gospel is just another way I love God. And I'm to love others. As a result of loving God, naturally flowing out of that is supposed to be, wow, these people are made in the image of God. My brothers and sisters are made in the image of God. How could my outward appearance, because I love God, show love for others? That's got to be my goal. Love, what does love do? Love makes it easy for the other person to do right. So, is there something about my appearance that could make it easier or harder for the people around me to do right? Men or women. I need to be thinking that. How could I make it easier? We know in 1 Corinthians, the examples of love, there is no room for selfishness in God's love. I had a friend, she's a very good friend and loves the Lord, and we were talking about, well, we're taking our kids for swim lessons, which is not somewhere you want your husband to take your kids. So we were taking our kids, and we were talking about that, how difficult that is. And she said, you know, if there were no men in the world, there's just a lot of outfits I'd wear because I just think they're perky. But I don't, because they're not helpful. I'm not even sure they're helpful to other women, because then what do? Compare ourselves, right? So, but there's no room for selfishness in God's love. If I struggle with considering my appearance, because that's up to me, that's none of your business, what might be going on in my heart? That reveals some heart issues that then we get to disciple on. Rebellion, rights, lack of love, a focus on self. Do I have an open attitude toward the exposure of areas that might need to change? 1 John 1 tells us to walk in the light. What does light do? Light exposes. Even when it's uncomfortable, even when we've never heard anything like this before, even if what we've always been taught is different. What is my guiding principle? Love God, love others. And we come back to that the whole time. Who am I thinking about here? I've got to continually ask myself that. Is my love for God and others what's dictating my actions, or do I do what I do because it's what I think is best and it's what I want? So, I am choosing a way to talk about appearance. You could do it in a number of different ways, I'm sure. But I talk about a couple of different concepts, things that are needlessly distracting and things that the Bible would call immodest. First, our appearance should not distract others from our message. 1 Peter 3, as God has given women certain gifts, and one of them is our appearance, and then he says, don't use that tool. And what a temptation that is. Instead, somehow, instead of the, your adornment must not be merely external, please let it be external, okay? We need some adornment. But it's not merely external. Why? It should be the hidden person of the heart. So where's the focus? Somewhere there's an implication that whatever my external adornment is, it's supposed to accentuate my heart. Somehow that's supposed to happen. And when I have something about me that is needlessly distracting, like the fact that I'm short, that's a needful distraction. There's not a thing I can do about that. And if that distracts you, I'm sorry, but I don't know what to do. If I wear heels, I fall, and that's more distracting. So that's the way it is. But a needless distraction, why would I add further distractions to the gospel? I like to think of it as just dress appropriately. Dress in such a way that nobody can remember what you had on. Because you weren't over, if I came up here in a ball gown, everybody would go, you remember that speaker, the one that wore that like really, like, that's what you'd remember, right? And if I came up here in shorts and a t-shirt with rips all in it, you'd all be saying, remember that teacher that had that, you'd remember that. I want to dress in a way that you probably won't remember. It also saves money because you can wear the same thing a lot and nobody knows. It's a great thing. But dress appropriately. I don't need to try to draw attention. I didn't say dress frumpily. Quite frankly, that can draw attention in the right crowds, right? So I didn't say that. I didn't say don't be attractive. I just said that's not the inordinate focus. For instance, what's appropriate? On your wedding day, you're going to dress differently than everybody else. And you're going to draw attention to yourself. And that's okay. Because I think it'd be rather chaotic to not know who the bride was, right? I think that would be weird. I think that would draw more attention to you to dress in a way that you tried to fit in. And I think it would be inappropriate for someone in the congregation to wear their wedding dress, right? How weird would that be? Totally inappropriate. I didn't say one is sin and one is the dress, whatever. I'm just saying there's times things are appropriate and there's times things aren't. If it was a wedding dress party,